With this Palm Sunday, we begin Holy Week, the holiest week of the church's liturgical calendar. And Palm Sunday points to Good Friday. In fact, all the readings are regarding the suffering and death of Christ. Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, talks about how Jesus would be struck, beaten, his beard pulled, he'd be insulted, sins against the mind. St. Paul, writing to the church of Philippi, reminds us that Christ became as a slave. The price of a slave was the price that Judas received in having sold Jesus. A sin of the heart. He was betrayed by his own. The antiphon before the reading of the Passion is all about a psalm. My God, why have you abandoned me? That's not so much a cry of despair, but the opening line of the Messianic psalm regarding he who would be crucified, whose bones would be exposed, would be treated as a lamb led to the slaughter. Our Lord spoke those words from the cross, one of the seven words, to remind the Jews, I'm fulfilling this ancient prophecy. Look, you can see my bones. And of course, in year A, we had the reading of the Passion, according to Matthew. It's a very somber day, Palm Sunday, or Passion Sunday, because it focuses on that day which is good for us, but brutal for our Saviour. The priest wears violet, a red vestment, to remind us of the blood that Christ shed. We now quote our images of heaven because heaven is sealed, awaiting his resurrection. All our holy icons, images and statues, almost shielding their eyes out of shame, the shame of the God who died, that such a price had to be paid, or rather, out of love, he chose to pay. As St. Paul would say, he emptied himself of all his divinity, and took upon himself our humanity and our sins and suffered for them. If we were having a procession, because it's the only mass we don't, at the main mass, in a costly rule, we would have read from St. Matthew's Gospel all about our Lord's triumphal procession into Jerusalem, the holy city. When our Lord entered that city, the people were so filled with joy, they claimed he was a king. Hosanna to the Son of David. And palm trees being a common reality in the Holy Land, they stripped them off the trees and laid them on the pathway. So as our Lord came in, not on a horse, as a military commander might do, but on a donkey, a humble beast, a simple beast. Well, would our Lord not be, within days, the humble, meek lamb led to the slaughter? He came in and they were singing, chanting, rejoicing, claiming him to be their king. And that's the very precipice of the hill before you descend to the Kedron Valley to the temple. Our Lord stopped and wept. Why did he weep? That's all you have to think about today, is why did Christ weep? Everyone's rejoicing, they're singing. It's a moment of festival, celebration, excitement. He weeps. He weeps for, some say, Jerusalem, the holy city, the ancient prophecy that said he would come, and now he's here, and yet rejected by so many. Even in spite of what he would suffer, Jews would remain hard-hearted, and many would not convert and accept him as their Messiah. Or perhaps he wept for the city itself, because within a few short decades, the Romans, under the commander of Titus, would come in and decimate the city. Hundreds of thousands would die, and the temple would not ever be rebuilt. For the true temple now of God is not a building, of the body of Christ, the church. Perhaps he wept for that moment, when all of this would pass and no longer be, and the moaning, the sadness, the sorrow of the chosen people would be sent out into the wilderness of the world, never to reclaim or regain once what was theirs, because they rejected him. Or perhaps he wept because of the infidelity that would come. The heroic patience of Christ throughout that week. He knew the very moment, the very thought pattern of Judas, and yet he put up with him day in, day out, until that moment when it was darkness and Judas, his apostle, would betray him. Or perhaps he wept for the heart of Peter that would claim to defend Christ with the sword one moment and deny him right the next. Or perhaps he wept for Simon and Matthew, Nathaniel and the other apostles who, out of weakness and fear, would banish the cross from their hearts and eyes, lest they too would be crucified. Or perhaps he just wept for us, my sins and yours. Perhaps he wept for the year 2014, how hard and cold would be the hearts of so many Australians, would claim to be indifferent, agnostic, rather than Christian, and claim him as their saviour. I know not what he wept for, but he wept throughout the week. Let us think about those tears of sorrow. And how the people were so fickle. Fickle towards Christ. Because today, Palm Sunday, they claimed him as their king. But in a few days, Friday, and you've said the words, they clamoured and cried out to the governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate, crucify him, and may his blood be upon us. One moment they claim him as their king, the next they pull down a curse upon their own soul. The fickleness of humanity. Not the weakness or foolishness or those wanting evidence for their faith, but fickleness. You see fickle people late at night around the streets roaming, being led here, led there, aimless, purposeless, following the loudest voice or the one with the most money. Fickle people are shallow people. They're little people on the inside because they have no depth. Whatever wind comes along, they're swept away to this group or that group. But I think many were fickle. Not faithful, but fickle. One moment, there they're singing, they're celebrating. Next, oh, they're told to condemn, we will. They go with the crowd. Many people just go with what's popular. They don't think about what they're saying or doing or to whom they belong. They just go with the moment. Live for today, not worry about tomorrow. We, however, want to be holier in this Holy Week. Therefore, we're not going to be fickle, but faithful. And one apostle was faithful to the very end, and he was, as you know, John. Simply termed the Beloved. Let us also inherit that name this week by attending as many ceremonies as possible, the times are listed on the bulletin. Let us think about how Christ suffered, where he suffered, when he suffered, and most of all, why. And in doing so, we shall be like John, faithful, not just in this life and to this Good Friday, but to that moment that Christ beckons us from time into eternity. And he says to us, no, not you, fickle ones. He says to us, come, come, you who've been faithful all of your life. Praise to Jesus Christ.